4. The Temple, City of Zion, the Temple Lands.
All right, Jasper, we're all here now, so suppose you tell us what this is all about.
Zamson Trenair put what he hoped was a precisely metered bite into his tone. Over the last few months, he'd come to feel more and more like an animal trainer who specialized in man-eating beasts. And, like the animal trainer, he found it necessary to never show fear, to occasionally remind Clinton that the Grand Inquisitor wasn't the only one with a temple power base, and that Trenair remained confident of his control of the temple hierarchy. Whether or not he was succeeding in convincing Clinton of that was a bit more problematical.
"Actually, Zamson, I was rather hoping you might be able to shed a little illumination on a disturbing rumor which has reached my attention," Clinton said now, and his tone was dangerously affable.
"What sort of rumor?" Trenair asked just a bit guardedly.
"Well, I realize that as Chancellor you're in charge of Mother Church's diplomacy, but according to Father Franklin, Gorgia of Taro seems to be losing some of his zeal for Mother Church's struggle."
"What?"
Trenair straightened in his chair, eyebrows lowering.
"I just had a report from Narth last 5 day. He didn't report anything untoward."
Robert Duquerne watched impassively as Clinton smiled at Trenair. It was unpleasant, that smile, but Duquerne had grown accustomed to that, just as he'd grown accustomed to Clinton's smirking satisfaction at the way the rest of the vicarate had come obediently to heel. So far, he seemed to have restricted his most unseemly displays to the circle of his immediate subordinates and his colleagues in the group of four. Some days, Duquerne hoped he would continue to be at least that discreet. Other days, he longed for Clinton's mask to slip where every other surviving vicar could see it.
"The problem is that even if it does slip, it won't tell anyone anything they don't already know. Jasper may not gloat openly yet, but that doesn't mean there's anyone left who isn't perfectly well aware of how he truly feels."
For his own part, Duquerne had completely stopped deferring to Clinton. He didn't go out of his way to provoke the Grand Inquisitor, but he'd made his indifference to Clinton clear. Not surprisingly, the Inquisitor had responded with profound disdain and contempt. Yet he seemed curiously loath to actually attack Duquerne. He wasn't even needling the treasurer the way he once had. It was clear to Duquerne that Clinton had accepted the bargain he'd proposed by way of Trenair. It was even remotely possible the Grand Inquisitor actually understood the necessity for Mother Church to show a kinder, more caring face, rather than relying solely upon the mailed fist, the whip, and terror.
"More likely he's simply satisfied I'm either too terrified of him to challenge him, or else that I've become such a bleeding heart I no longer really care about worldly power. It may even be a combination of the two. At any rate, he seems to have taken my declaration of neutrality at face value, so far at least, which probably means I'm beneath contempt now, as far as he's concerned."
If that was Clinton's attitude, it suited Duquerne just fine. Not that he intended to take any stupid, overly optimistic chances. Behind his impassive facade, however, the treasurer found himself wondering what Clinton was up to this time. Father Franklin Sumir, the church's intendant in Taro, was a Schulerite, like almost all intendants. As such, he reported directly to the Inquisition, although any report touching on political affairs was supposed to be copied to Trenair's office in the Chancellery as well. Bishop Executor Turner Narth, on the other hand, was supposed to report to Archbishop Felix Garber, the Archbishop of Taro, whose deputy he officially was. Of course, he was also supposed to be copying his reports to the Chancellery as well. Theoretically, then, Trenaire should have been informed about anything which had reached Clinton's ears. Which, obviously, was not the case.
"I'm not really surprised Noth didn't mention anything about it," Clinton said now, almost carelessly. "Probably not his fault, really. I mean, I know he's our official representative in Taro, and that he's been conferring regularly with Gorja, so I'm sure he's confident he's on top of the situation."
"But you're suggesting he isn't on top of it, correct?" Trenaire asked sharply.
"Oh, I'm sure he's fully conversant with all the diplomatic correspondence and negotiations, all that sort of thing. But according to Father Franklin, there's been a mysterious drop in Carizian naval activity in Thol Bay. As a matter of fact, the entire Carizian blockade seems to have suddenly become about as watertight as a fishnet."
"Excuse me." Trenaire's puzzlement was obvious, and Clinton snorted.
"We already know Gorja changed sides once," he said in the tone of a man explaining something to a very young child in very simple words. "We also know, despite any investigations which might have cleared him, that only someone in Taro could have warned Harald of what was about to happen. I've always wondered just who could have had the authority and reach to both pass that information along and make certain no one was ever able to identify him as the source. Of course, as the rest of you have pointed out, we can't just go around deposing kings and princes on suspicion, can we?"
"Jaspar, if you were really convinced Gorja was the leak, you should have said so at the time." There was a pronounced edge of asperity in Trenaire's voice. "Your own inquisitors conducted the investigation, at his request, I remind you. If they turned up any evidence that you failed to share with us, I suggest you tell us about it now."
"If I'd had any such evidence, I would have shared it with you then," Clinton said coolly. "Obviously I didn't. But riddle me this, Jason. Why should the Carizian suddenly begin going easy on Taro? After locking that damned island up tight, sticking it in a cask and then driving in the bung for the better part of 2 years? Why is their blockade suddenly so porous? You know as well as I do that that bastard Rockpoint's been basing himself inside Thol Bay. Frankly, I've always found it just a bit suspicious that Gorja and his precious white ford weren't even able to keep him from doing that. But now, all of a sudden, blockade runners are managing to slip past the eagle-eyed Carizians in droves."
"You're suggesting Gorja's negotiated some sort of secret arrangement with Caleb and Charlian?"
Trenaire and Clinton both looked at Ducairn as he asked the question. His own expression was one of indifference, almost boredom, and there might actually have been a hint of amusement in his tone.
"That's exactly what I'm suggesting, Robert,"
Clinton said after a moment.
"You find the idea humorous?"
"Oh, by no means," Ducairn said calmly. "What I do find a bit amusing, though, is that you and Zamson, I suppose, should be more concerned with scoring points off of one another here in the council chamber than in keeping all of us fully informed on whatever information comes into our hands."